We're in the book of Jeremiah tonight, chapter 1. We're going to continue the series that we started in the book of Jeremiah. And tonight we look forward to getting into some of the text here in the beginning of chapter number 1. Last time we were here, we kind of introduced the book. We talked about the different kings that reigned during the time of Jeremiah. We especially emphasized Josiah. And Josiah has always been an intriguing king to me. I've always enjoyed reading about Josiah. Even when I was in college, I remember doing some studies on him and preaching a few short messages on him. And I've enjoyed studying the King Josiah. He seemed to have a heart for the Lord. He wanted to go back to the Lord. He wanted the people to return. And there was a revival in the time of Josiah. But then sadly, when we go to the book of Jeremiah and we read some of the things that were happening in the lives of the people during this time when the king was working hard to get them to return to the Lord, we see a sad picture of how the people were still steeped in idolatry. And so while the leadership desired greatly for them to return to the Lord, it was a far cry from what the people actually were going through. So Jeremiah is a commentary on the spiritual condition of the people of Judah that were at Jerusalem during the years leading up to that captivity by Nebuchadnezzar when he came. And in three different deportations, he took the people away, ultimately left them in a ruined state. He burned down the city, burned the temple, took everything of value away, and basically left it in just a terrible estate. Stayed that way many years until Nehemiah was raised up. He and Ezra and others to come back and rebuild the city, rebuild the walls, and rebuild the temple, of course. But Nebuchadnezzar laid it waste. So Jeremiah was around that time leading up to that exile. In the beginning of the book here, I want to just read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll get started in our message tonight. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, let's pause and pray. Father, just bless now as we begin this study of chapter 1 in our good book of Jeremiah that you've preserved for us and given to us. And Lord, it's an inspired word from you. And we thank you that you have given us your word. And Lord, I pray that as we study these different things, that our hearts would be kindled to see the need of our service for you, to see, Lord, how you work and how you have plans that we cannot even imagine. And I pray, Lord, that you just bless this time together. Help us to focus, to pay attention, and Lord, to gain some valuable spiritual truth for our hearts tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in the beginning of the book, you notice, just kind of go back, we kind of covered verses 1, 2, and 3 in our introduction talking about those three kings. But I wanted to pick up on one little phrase in verse number 1 that we kind of didn't have time to get over, but it's, he was the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. That little city, Anathoth, is one that appears a few times in the scriptures. It was a little city that was a village about 2.5 to 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So if you can kind of picture in your mind or maybe flip back in the back of your Bible, there's usually a picture of old Jerusalem there, and you can think of going up to the north a little and over to the east about 2.5 to 3 miles. So they were close to the city of Jerusalem. Wasn't, I'm sure, that far of a walk. And this city is mentioned in Judges and in First Chronicles, or in Joshua, that it was a city specifically set aside for the priest. If you'll remember, when they took over the land, Joshua, during his time, they conquered the land. They divided up some of the cities, just like Moses told them, God actually told them through Moses to do. They divided up some cities to give to the priest, and Anathoth was one of those cities. It remained in the southern kingdom, and it was among a group of 16 cities that were given to Aaron and to his sons among the three tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. So no doubt Jeremiah was of a priestly lineage. If you also go back to some other passages, we don't have time to look at those tonight, but over in 1 Kings chapter 2, you can put together several different verses about Abiathar, and you can find out that he, from Anathoth, was from the lineage of Ithamar. Remember the sons of Aaron, there's Eleazar, Ithamar, Phinehas. So Ithamar's lineage seemed to be the one that was at Anathoth, whereas Phinehas and Eleazar were from a different lineage. You say, well, why is that important? Well, Ithamar was not a lineage for the high priest That was more of the Phinehas house, Eleazar through Phinehas. So they were the high priest, and some have kind of debated and thought that Hilkiah in verse number 1 may have been the same high priest during the days of Josiah that led with the revival in the temple. But we believe that's a different Hilkiah because as a high priest, he would have been in Jerusalem. But the father of Jeremiah here is over in Anathoth, the lineage of Ithamar. So he is just, you know, I don't want to say just a regular priest, but he's not in the high priestly line of families. He is a priest, a Levite perhaps, and he's called to bring the word against the city of Jerusalem. So he came to the city. The Lord called him to come there. And throughout the book, you read of him being in the city. He didn't stay just in Anathoth. He was in the courts of the temple, some verses tell us. In other verses, we read he was preaching in the gates of the city. He would preach in the king's palace. He even would preach in the prison. So he was sent to the city of God's people as just a priest that God had selected and called to bring that message. So in this setting here with these different kings at the end of kind of the coming down to the exile of Jerusalem into Babylon, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. If you see that again in verse number 2, to whom the word of the Lord came. Verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came. All throughout the book, that is a very frequent phrase. Chapter 2, verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is over and over again in the book that the word of the Lord came. A very prominent phrase, and it's easy to just skip over that and think it's not really that big of a deal. But remember, everything that God has given us in His Word has some truth to it. This carries the idea of the Word being spoken to him and heard, but that it influenced and directed all that Jeremiah did. In other words, it kind of obligated him. That the idea of this phrase means that he had an obligation to the Word of God throughout his ministry. The Word of the Lord came to him. He was obligated to spread this word. He was obligated to deliver this. He was a messenger to bring that word to the people. So all the things that affected his life, his views of life, his maybe even his emotions, his character, all parts of his life, his whole self were affected by this word that God gave him. So even because of that influence, you know, Jeremiah perhaps was even encouraged with the difficult problems and that he encountered. Remember, he wasn't happily accepted by the people. As we likened last time, we talked about, you know, how would you feel if someone started preaching against your city or your country or, you know, we'd call them anti-American or anti-patriotic, and that's normal, you know, that we would think that. Now, but Jeremiah was called to deliver a very, very hard pill to swallow, if you want to put it that way. It was a tough message that, hey, you people, the Lord is judging us. He's going to bring us into captivity. We're not going to be here in this land. He's going to take us away. We have to accept that. And he called for the people to just submit to the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, that would be as if ISIS came over and started wiping us out and we started saying, oh, just submit to ISIS. Everything will work out. We think the person was crazy. So they naturally thought that way of Jeremiah. They didn't understand that this was the Lord working and that the Lord was bringing the judgment upon them. So the truth to remember here is that this Word of God obligated him to deliver the message. You know, when God's Word comes, there is an obligation with it. And he is obligated to deliver it. It's not the time for cowardice. It's not the time for fear for Jeremiah. But I've given you this word, Jeremiah. People are not going to like it. They're going to call you names. They're going to be upset at you. They're going to throw you in prison. They're going to persecute you. But now is the time to deliver this word. He's just one of those regular priests, if you want to call it that. I'm not trying to, you know, demean in any way, but he wasn't the high priest. Now, it seems like the high priest would be the one delivering these messages. But yet, we're going to see that God chose this just normal priest that was serving the Lord there in Anathoth to deliver such a difficult message to a people that would not hear him. Now, in the rest of chapter 1, it is basically God's commission to Jeremiah. The call and commission to Jeremiah to tell him what his duty was going to be, what his task was going to be that he was faced with, to go to these people. And I want us to look at, throughout this chapter, we'll probably just get to one part of it tonight, but throughout this chapter in verses 4 through 6, we have the call of Jeremiah. In verses 7 through 10, I'm going to call that the consecration of Jeremiah. So first, God called him. Then in verses 7 through 10, God consecrates him to the ministry. And then throughout most of the rest of the chapter, to about 16 or so, it is the confirmation. He's going to give him two signs to confirm to Jeremiah, I am calling you to this duty. these people in this nation are ripe for judgment, and I'm going to confirm that ministry to you. So I hope that this is a blessing to you as we begin to get into this. And again, we're just going to look at verses 4 through 6 tonight as we discuss the call of Jeremiah in verses 4 through 6. The call of Jeremiah. Now, the word of the Lord in verse number 4, that obligation to Jeremiah. God told him several things. And you know, it's interesting, when God has things to accomplish on earth, God could easily think or act quickly and do what He wants to do. God could do anything, we know that. But it's many times God uses human agents to accomplish and assist in His plan. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need people to do what He needs done. He can do what He wants to do. But many times He allows His people to serve. He allows His people to help and bring forth. For example, in our day today, we're called to the evangelistic message. We're called to speak to those that need the message of Christ. We have a part in that. And God uses human agents. So therefore, He calls those human agents, and not only calls them, but He empowers them to fulfill that call. And I want us to notice a few things tonight about the call of God specifically for Jeremiah. I want to bring out three or four points from verses 5 and 6 specifically that deal with the call of Jeremiah. Let's read verses 5 and 6 again before we discuss three or four points. First of all, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The first point I want us to think about the call of God is that it is preordained. The call of God is preordained. Before I formed thee, God says, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. God did this. It is a preordained thing. This, of course, just on the general surface, is an insight into the fact that God knows everyone before they're even formed, before they're conceived in the womb. This is even a strong biblical support for the fact that, you know, each life in the womb is indeed just that. It's a life in the womb that God specifically knows. And it's even before the conception, God knows. He knows who you are. He knows where you're going to be born. He knows who your parents are going to be. He knows what you're going to look like. Some of us may say, Lord, I wish you'd change that a little bit, for the sake of others maybe. But the Lord knows everything about us. And He knew Jeremiah before He even formed him. Before he was conceived by his parents, God knew that there was a specific mission and that Jeremiah was going to be set aside and called to fulfill that very specific part of God's overall plan. You know, have we ever thought before that God knows each one of us? He has a plan. He knows the plans for our lives before we are even conceived of, before our parents even thought or knew that they were even going to be married or whatever. You know, as young people, when you get married, you know, you never know if you're going to have kids or not. You just don't know. And so it's a lot of unknowns there, but God knows. And God knows those people. He knows the children that He has. He knows the parents He's going to give them to. And He calls each specifically. He knows when we're going to come onto the scene of history. I've thought about that quite a bit. You know, the Lord could have had me not even be born, for one. The Lord could have had us maybe being born 200 years into the future. I'm not sure that would be pretty nice. He could have had us being born in the Middle Ages. You know, we could have lived in 1000 AD or something, or we could have lived way back in the days of Alexander the Great or something. We don't know, but God knows. And He has a specific time. He knew that Adam Watt was going to be born in 1980. He knew that you were going to be born on your specific day. The Lord knows everything about us. He knows exactly when He was going to put us on the earth. And He has a reason for that. And it's so easy for us to just, you know, it's not a big deal. And when we think that way, when we don't consider that God knows every detail, then what do? We begin to sadly think that our life is our own to run. Well, I can just, you know, go about carefree and do what I want to do, make my own plans with my life, do whatever I think I want to do without considering and praying and begging for God, who knows everything, to allow us to fit into the plan He has for us. He knows all the details. So we need to realize that our life is not our own. You know, we've been called and commissioned, just like Jeremiah. We've been called to come for a unique purpose that God would have for every single one of us. He knew what we were going to be before we were even thought of. Whatever profession you're in, God knew that you were going to be that profession. God has ministry opportunities for you in that profession, even if you're not in full-time service. I tell that to the young people all the time. I pray and I beg the Lord that He would call full-time ministers from this group of young people. But if the Lord doesn't, if some of them don't, I pray that they will be open-minded to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't believe You want me in full-time ministry, but I want to have a ministry, no matter what it is, and always have that on my mind. The Lord can use you anywhere He puts you, and He puts people in specific places at just the right times. And it's just amazing to look back and say, Lord, it's amazing that 30 years ago You moved that particular person to go into that profession so that 20 years down the road, all this could happen for Your glory and honor. And when we don't think that way, again, we think we're in charge. My life's my own. I can do what I want. And that's not what the Lord is trying to tell us here. I think of those in the Bible that came for just a time as this, or such a time as this, like Esther. Remember? When Esther was born, God had her born in a specific time to a specific family that would have a specific uncle that could get her into the king, you know, to be selected as the queen. Now, did Esther's parents even have any idea that that would happen when she was born? No. But you know what? God knew it way before she was even thought of. God knew that His people were going to be destroyed. And He said, don't worry. I'm going to just put the people in the right places at the right times. And boom, she delivers the people by coming to the king, and God gave her courage. And Mordecai, I tell you what, I believe he's a godly man because he put it to the Lord. He brought you here for a time as this. The Lord did it. And I appreciate the testimony of Scripture there. So there were many that came on the scene at the right time. I think of Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Acts 22 when he gives his testimony before the people. He acknowledged, he said, I was chosen to be that light to the Gentiles. He didn't know that he was going to be chosen for that, but God had worked for Paul to have the background he was going to have and go through all the things that Paul went through so that when the gospel needed to come to the Gentiles, which by the way is you and me, Paul was right there. And the gospel went forth, as Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, to the uttermost parts of the world. The Lord has people in place. God has the plans. God works to fulfill them many times even through human agents, and He knows it all and He plans it out. Jeremiah had that same type of call. He was raised up at a specific time. You know, he maybe thought, well, I'm just going to be a normal priest. I'm going to serve my duties when I'm called to Jerusalem and do the things I'm supposed to do. He maybe had no idea that God was going to say, hey, guess what, Jeremiah? I put you in a specific time, in a specific family, in a specific location for you to be my messenger to these stubborn, hard-headed people. And most people would say, well, thanks, Lord. You gave me a hard job there. But Jeremiah, he was planned way before. God had it known. It is a preordained call. I tell you, what a joy to realize the call of God in your life. Every single believer has a call. You have to get in tune with the Lord and get it and know what it is. Pray for the Lord to show you what it is that He has for you. He has a plan for every single believer. And to realize the call of God on our life, to fulfill that call, to honor the Lord in the midst of that call here on earth, just to be, I like to think of it as a tiny little piece of the puzzle of God's huge, massive, incredible plan. And He takes us puny little people and allows us to be used by Him. He doesn't have to do that. God could build the puzzle all by Himself. He doesn't need us. He has the plan. He has the power. But He's chosen to allow us to participate in that. And God's called. We must follow. You know, take away a truth from this in general before we leave. You know, God is the one who forms humanity. God is the one that knows Jeremiah, and He knew you, and He formed humanity. He knows each of us individually. He formed us to be what He wants. He formed us to fulfill what He's planned for us. You know, we can fit into His plan because of the way God has made us. A lot of people like to go through these changes and stuff, and you know, we got to have 40 plastic surgeries and all this stuff. And you know, I was talking to Kevin the other night. We were talking about how being bald doesn't really bother us. Sorry, I know people pick on me. It's not a big deal. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. I told myself a long time ago when I was 19, whew, that's bad, Kevin. I was sitting in the school auditorium there in a devotional morning, and one of the staff members came out from way in the far other corner of the building, you know, pretty good distance, came to me later and said, you know, when I walked out that door, I didn't see much in the auditorium except that light shining up, that little bald spot you had in the back of your head. I said, wow, I'm 19 and I'm already half bald. This is terrible. I decided right there, you know what? If the Lord wants me to be bald, I'm going to be bald. I don't need the Rogaine and the all that weird stuff and implants and all. I don't need that mess on my head. Good grief. If the Lord wants me to be bald, I'm going to be bald. He made me that way. I don't know why. Maybe because some people are going to come out of the woods and say, go up that bald head and we'll get to watch a she-bear. I don't know. Just kidding. The Lord makes us the way we are. And our generation is what? We're all about changing the way God made me. And that's what our society is. We're going to change what God's made. Why? Because we don't like God's plan. We're rebels, in a nutshell. And we hate what God sets. We can't stand the fact that God knew something way before time, which our brain can't even conceive of. Our puny little finite brains can't even... I sit there and think, Lord, how in the world... We can't understand this. Before time, okay, I can't think of that because all I know is time. But you were out there somewhere doing something, I don't know what, but you planned everything. And so we don't like it when God does that. We don't like the plan. That means I'm not in control. We can't have those type of things. So we need to understand that God's formed us the way He wants us to be. And I tell you, sadly, many times we go and deform what God had for us. And so then we get ourselves in all kinds of mess. We get ourselves out of the plan of God. But then God is still merciful, you know, because He'll take that deformed, sinful person and just shape you right back up and put you back in the plan. He's merciful. We're going to get to the book of Jeremiah when he talks about that potter's wheel. He talks about that clay pot, and it was marred. Boy, how many times have we been marred because of our sin? We go out in our hard-headed ways and go mar up stuff, mess up everything, and mess the whole plan up. And the Lord says, you know what? Let's just keep working. Let's keep working. Let's make a new vessel. We're still work with it. The Lord's merciful to us, and He continues to bless our lives, even though many times we're hard-headed and stubborn. But He's made us to fit into His plan, and He's called us to that plan, and we need to start praying, young people, that the Lord will get us in His plan. You know, I remember being in high school and in college, and I had no idea what the Lord had for me. I had no idea. I thought I was going to be a pastor of a church somewhere. I always envisioned, you know, the Lord calling me to some little tiny church in the middle of nowhere, Hickville, USA or something. I'd kind of like that out in the backwoods, middle of nowhere. Have a little tiny church of 40 or 50 people and just preach and wonderful. Well, God had other plans. And you're regretting that ever since. No. But I had no idea the Lord had called me into Christian education. No idea. You know, and I'm in high school and college and wondering, but you know what? Just prayed and said, Lord, I'm just going to do what's right and You'll take care of the rest. And He does that. Isn't that amazing? I'm sure many of you who are a lot more, I don't want to say older, just seasoned than I am, you can look back in your life and just see every step. The Lord just moved and acted and it was all His plan. And we shake our head and say, Lord, how did You do all that? It's amazing. Despite my hard-headedness and my stubbornness, the Lord just... I've got the plan and I'm just going to act. And it's amazing to know God's call and to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. And He'll take care of the rest. Sadly, many times we aren't willing. We don't like to heed God's call. We don't want to think about serving the Lord. We don't want to think about, how dare we think about full-time ministry. You know, my dad beat something into me. Well, he beat a lot of things. But the one thing he did tell me a lot when I was in middle school and high school, he said, son, you pray that God will make you a preacher. And if he makes you something else, then be satisfied and serving. Now, you know, you don't hear that much anymore. Pray that I'd be in full-time ministry. I won't make any money. We won't be famous doing that. I won't get all these degrees and all this rich stuff and go work for these huge companies and all. And we think materialistic, sadly, so many times instead of, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if God's plan was, hey, let's have full-time ministry. Now, God doesn't have that plan for everybody, but it's nice to think that that's the first option and then let the Lord lead the way. He may not have that option for you, but it needs to be considered. Now, the call of Jeremiah and the call of all of us is something that is preordained. Secondly, tonight, the call is not only preordained, but it is all an action of God. It's all an action that God does. Notice in verse 5, before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee. Who's the I there? The Lord, God. He's the one that has the action. Notice these three actions. We'll quickly go through these. First of all, God knows. He said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. That literally means in the Hebrew that God perceived and He took an interest in Jeremiah for the specific task that God had. before he was even born. God took an interest and said, I'm going to raise up a person here to do this task. Boy, that's our Lord, I tell you. God knew the entire story of Israel. Even before the world was created, He knew the entire story of Israel. He knew that they would come to this point and that they would need a Jeremiah to preach the truth to them. Now, the idea here is that He observing and marking him for a purpose. And that's definitely what the Lord did with Jeremiah before he was even born. He marked him for a purpose. You know, by that same token, God knows and sees the lives of every single person before we were born. He's planned and purposed and observed and marked us. And you know, the best thing we can do is to continue in truth every day. Continue in the path of truth. Continue doing what is right every day, and God's purposes will be fulfilled in your life. Again, this is a serious thing. God has a plan. It's not for us to decide on our own, for us to figure out what we want to do, but it's to fulfill the purposes of God. And if we're hard-headed, if we keep saying, Lord, I know, I don't want to do that though. You know, it's kind of like the Jonah syndrome. He finally got it figured out, but I'm not doing that. I'm off to Tarshish. See ya. Well, the Lord, you know, kept doing more to get a hold of him. And sometimes the Lord has to do that to us too, to kind of knock our heads up with a 2x4 and say, hey, this is my purpose and plan. You need to get in line with it. And you know what? When we get hit with that 2x4, it's actually the mercy of God. It may hurt for a while, but it's better than us just going on our way and having total destruction in our lives. Lord's merciful. So first of all, God knows who He's going to call. Secondly, God sanctifies. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That traditional meaning thereof, to set apart, to segregate, to separate out. You know, when God calls, He observes and sees that who He's going to call, then He separates that person out, separates them to Himself. You know, when we're going to fulfill the Lord's call, then we are going to be unique in that we're set apart from the rest of the world. We're set apart from society. We're set apart from the world. The world by its masses are doing what they want to do. Those who listen to God's call are going to be set apart. You know, as the Lord's servants, we are to live separated unto God. That's what Jeremiah was. He was hated. The whole city of Jerusalem, all the nations of Judah there just couldn't stand what Jeremiah was saying. Why? Because he was separated unto God. He was separated out from the normal trends. He was unique, and therefore he was despised. Well, it sounds a lot like what's going on today, doesn't it? And he'd be ready for those things. You know, the normal trends of today's philosophy. Live like you want to live, follow your dreams, make lots of money, satisfy your desires. That's what everybody else is doing. But when God calls us, He separates us to be different and have a different mindset than what the world has. We're sanctified to that. So those who are called of God realize that God has separated us out for a higher calling. There's something more than just this world. It's a higher purpose, and it's an honor and privilege there to serve the Lord. That's what He did with Jeremiah. I called you. I'm going to separate you out. And then thirdly here, I ordained thee. This has the idea of not only did I know you and separate you out, but I'm going to then take you and install you or put you exactly where I want you to be. And for Jeremiah, that was in a very tough time in the city of Jerusalem. And God put him right there and said, here's the message. Go speak it. You know, God is the one here that calls, separates, and installs. And I think of many times in the Scriptures where God called and then separated out and then installed. You think about Moses, for example. God knew that He was going to have Moses at the right time to deliver the children of Israel. But what did He do? He separated him out. He had to get him away from Pharaoh. He had to get him away from his nice little life in Pharaoh's king's house, palace, and all that stuff. He separated him away from that, put him in the wilderness for a while, showed him a burning bush, began to speak to him, and then took him and installed him right where He had for him. God does that. He calls. He separates out. Again, Paul with the same thing. He was called on the road to Damascus. Then what happened? Did he go straight to preaching? If you go to Galatians chapter 1, he spent some time in the desert. And a couple years there in the desert where he was receiving revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I tell you, the Lord had to separate him out and say, if you're going to serve me, then I'm going to separate you from all the loudness of the world and all the things going on, and I'm going to put you here so you can focus on me. And then he installed him right at the right time in the right place. John the Baptist even, you know, God called and ordained him. He spent time in the wilderness, and then God put him right there at the River Jordan, preaching repentance and preparing for the way of the Lord. So many examples you could look at from Scripture that it's a call, a separation, and then God has you ready and puts you there. You know, maybe you can look at your life and see times like that where God called you, times that God spent preparing you, and then times God just put you where He wanted you to be. That may be only for a short time, but then He'll put you where He wants. He may put you somewhere else. Just be ready for what the Lord has in His plans and in His purposes. So God knows, God sanctifies, separates, and God installs His people. Now, before moving on to the final point about the call of God, it is preordained. It is all God's action. We're going to see a third point in a minute, but I wanted to talk briefly about this word prophet in verse number 5. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, this word is a very familiar word for prophet. It's the word Nabi. Nabi in the Hebrew. There's a lot of dispute about this word. Some people believe it comes from the idea, a root that means to be swept away. And they say, oh, he's swept away in an emotional type of frenzy and things and just begins to utter things. And some people say that's the root. Other people said it's from a root that means to bubble over. Again, a more of an emotional thing that things just, they would even refer to like these seizure, emotional, violent things where they just bubble over and then these words just start coming out. I don't really believe that that's the way the Lord would act. But the word, there's another root that I believe it ties to. And it indicates just to bring news, to speak, or to utter. And I don't think the Lord does anything with a bunch of chaos and weird emotional stuff. I believe He does things lawfully and orderly, and He just has His people speak. He says, here's the messenger, you're going to speak. This ties, I believe, more logically to the Scriptures. And that brings, therefore, the familiar definition of the prophet, the mouthpiece of God. You've ever heard of that mentioned before, the mouthpiece of God? He's one who receives a message from God, and God says, you're going to go just deliver that message to the audience. You're going to speak what I say to speak instead of some weird emotional thing that gets tied up in you and you just utter out these crazy things. It is so easy to define the word differently and to fall into one of those emotional definitions and where my subjectivity is involved. There's even some today who claim the office of prophet. There's some, even in American churches, that claim that they're the prophet of the church or something. And it's even in a wrong sense. They believe that God literally speaks to them and that you don't dare go against. They have a unique message, almost as if it's extra biblical, like everybody has the Bible, but I, as the great prophet, I have this unique insight that you don't know about. So when I get up and speak, you know, it's almost like the ex cathedra of the Pope or something. I'm going to give some great message and you better listen. And sadly, that's in a lot of segments of churches, even here in America. God literally speaks to them. And they believe you shouldn't dare question the word of the great prophet. I believe that's an unbiblical extreme. I believe, as we're going to see next in verse number 6, our last point tonight, that there's something else involved that keeps the prophet in balance and prevents him from what I call getting the big head. Oh, it would have been so easy for Jeremiah to strut right into Jerusalem. I'm not the high priest, but guess what, buddy? The Lord spoke to me. He didn't speak to you. Now move out of the way and let me speak. Did Jeremiah do that? No. That's what a lot of us, or a lot of pastors in America maybe would do. Oh, the Lord's given me some special word here. I'm going to go. I got a lot to say. Everybody move out of the way. I'm going to be on TBN right now and just telling everybody I'm going to take over the radio waves and I'm just going to spread the news about how great I am. I don't think that's what the messenger of the Lord has, because I want you to look at verse number 6. This is our third point tonight. The call is preordained. The call is all of God. In verse number 6, I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I can't speak, for I am a child. Now, let me tell you the point first. The call is preordained, it is all of God, and it is humbling. Humbling. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers speak about Jeremiah and Moses and say, well, they were just terrible, weak people. They were making excuses for speaking against God. You know what? I don't think that I see that in Jeremiah. I see Jeremiah in his humility saying, Lord, You've given me this massive task and I'm a nobody. I'm a little unworthy nobody. I'm a child. I can't do this, Lord. Why are You asking this puny little human to do this? A true prophet doesn't get this big old head that he's got some special message. He's humble because he knows he's insufficient. And that's why the Lord goes on in verses, we're going to see next time, verses 7 through 10, and says, don't worry. I'm going to call you, but I'm also going to consecrate you. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the courage to face these people with, yes, a message that is so difficult. I don't see this as an excuse. And, you know, those who usually preach that, you know, Jeremiah is bringing up excuses, those are usually the power trip, you know, authority preachers that we see in America. They want total dictatorship over the church, and they want that, you know, different view of God's messenger, almost as if they're inspired of God. You know, we want to bring up excuses. We're the chosen ones. Many believe they are called of God, but they miss this last point. If you want to serve the Lord, young person, or middle-aged, older person, whatever, if you want to serve the Lord and it's in your heart, or maybe you're considering, before you go to college, maybe you're considering going to a Bible college. You know, I think a Bible college is a good place for God to separate you if you go to the right Bible college, if you go to a good one that loves the Lord. That's a nice time for God to separate you, like here, sanctified, you know, and then installed. I think that's good. The Lord can train you. The Lord can get you some time over here, and you can grow in His Word even more. But I think if we want the calling of God, we want to know what the Lord has for us, but yet we refuse humility, the message won't go forth. You know, God wants someone that says, Lord, I can't do it. You're going to have to. Then your ego is not going to get in the way. That's what the Lord wants. You know, God doesn't use the people that think they can do it all on their own. He uses people that realize they can't do nothing, and only then will they fully rely on God because of that. You know, maybe Jeremiah was thinking, I'm just some lowly priest over here. I'm not even of the line of Eleazar and Phinehas. I'm a nobody. Who am I to even speak? He had the approach of humility. He viewed himself as a young man. I'm a child. I'm not ready to take this responsibility. He knew he couldn't handle it, but that's what God was looking for. Someone that didn't have that ego and self-centeredness, so that humanity doesn't get in the way and God can just use him. And I hope that in looking at the call of Jeremiah tonight, you consider your own life. Consider the life of maybe your children and your family. Will you listen to the call of God? Young person, those that are in high school, I tell you, God could be calling you right now. He has already, before you could even think of it, He knows who you're going to marry if you're going to get married. He knows how many kids you might have. He knows where you're going to end up living. He knows where He's going to put you. Are you having your heart and mind humbly being submitted to God and His Word and submitted to the truth so that when the time comes for God to install you and to put you there, that you're ready? You're humbly ready. Jeremiah was. I don't know what was going on in Anathoth, but I can tell you what. I think that it was a time that God had him just quietly preparing. He didn't know what he was preparing for, I don't believe. And then God dropped the bombshell on him. We use that terminology some. Hey, buddy, guess what? You're going to Jerusalem and talk to a bunch of hard-headed mules up there. Okay. I'm scared. I can't do it. I'm afraid of their faces and all this. And the Lord says, don't worry. We're going to get to that next time. The Lord gives him the strength. The Lord gives him the power. Young people, the Lord will call you to do His tasks, and He'll give you the strength to do it. Humbly submit to Him. Father, thank You for the message from Jeremiah tonight, the message of Your Word. Lord, I pray that we would have a humble heart, and that we, Lord, would not fight against Your Word, that we wouldn't fight against the truth of the Scripture. But Lord, I ask that we would be humble. Lord, I deeply pray tonight for our young people especially. Lord, I know we all need prayer, but I pray that they would be submissive to Your call, that right now they would listen. Listen. Lord, it's easy to hear the loud voices all around us and not hear You just simply calling us one direction or another. Lord, I pray that we would put from our lives those things that distract the call of God. And Lord, we would see a group of young people here that will be humble servants, whether You call them to full-time ministry or part-time ministry, or You give them, put them in a profession and they can have a ministry there. Lord, whatever it is You have for them, may they be prepared to hear that call and to go, to do, to Lord, go through that time of separation to You where they are fully grounded in Your Word. And then, Father, be prepared to serve at just the right time, times that You already know about that we can't even comprehend. Lord, we thank You for how You watch over our lives and how You know everything, that You're an omniscient, all-knowing, gracious, and all-powerful God. We praise You tonight, Father. In Your name we pray. Amen.